bulletin. Throughout these past months in worship, we have been following rather closely the gospel according to St. Mark. In fact, most of our gospel lessons have followed consecutively and immediately on the preceding verses from the particular chapters they were taken in Mark's gospel. But starting this morning, we're taking a three-week detour into John's gospel. Our gospel lesson this morning, as well as the next two Sundays, contains that beautiful teaching of Jesus, which we heard in our gospel lesson moments ago. Jesus, as he says to us, "I am the bread of life." This teaching, not found in Mark's gospel, immediately follows the account of Jesus walking on the water of the Sea of Galilee, which was read in church last weekend. This lesson, this teaching of Jesus, also fits in with one of the organizational themes of John's gospel, the seven I am statements of Jesus that John uses as he tells the gospel story. Today's gospel lesson might be titled, "Looking for God in All the Wrong Places." Already before today's gospel lesson begins, we find the crowds looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Those who witnessed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, well, to them, Jesus is going to be their bread king. He's going to provide all that they need. They don't need to work anymore. They can just follow Jesus around and he will supply all of their needs for food. As Jesus points out, their desire for Jesus simply to provide food so that their bellies are full each night is a rather low bar for what Jesus truly came to do and to be. As the conversation between Jesus and the people continues, the focus shifts to the people asking the question, "What do we need to do to earn this bread of which you speak? What is it that we need to do?" They follow this by demanding a sign from Jesus. "Jesus, if you are who you say you are, if you are indeed that promised Messiah sent from God, then prove it. Do a sign to prove that you are that one sent from God." Did they already forget the feeding of the 5,000, the many healings that Jesus performed, or raising Jairus' daughter from the dead? The crowds are indeed looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. And we are not immune to the same reality. We too, at times, view Jesus more as a bread king, a problem solver, the one who makes life a little bit easier, rather than understanding the far greater need and purpose for which he came. How often have we demanded a sign? "Jesus, if you love me, do this. Jesus, if you love me, answer this prayer this way. Jesus, if you love me, do this now and do it according to what I say needs to happen." We at times are tempted in the same way as those crowds to look for a Jesus who simply does what we want him to do when we want him to do it. The result is that we at times view Jesus on our terms instead of us receiving him on his terms. It's not that Jesus does not want to help us with our daily needs or providing food for us or answering our prayers, not at all. But rather that he came for a far greater and far more important reason. Jesus responds to all of this with beautiful gospel words. beautiful gospel words to those who looked at him as being their bread king. Beautiful gospel words to those who thought they needed to earn God's favor. Beautiful gospel words to those who demanded a sign. Beautiful gospel words to you and me in those times when we simply want Jesus to solve our problem, to help us out when we get into a scrape. Jesus speaks these gospel words. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus points us again this morning to a far greater reality. And he came not simply to make our lives easier. He came to bring us life itself. New life, forgiven life, forever life. Jesus provides that which we need to truly live. To live new lives as children of God, our sins forgiven, our identity in Christ secured, our guilt and shame removed, our eternity anchored in the certain hope of God's faithful promises. As Jesus himself states later in John's gospel, because I live, you shall live also. Jesus came to defeat sin and death for us, to give us that hope that is a certain hope for the future. A future that isn't just for someday off in the distant future, but a certain hope that is ours now. A life that is transformed now. Because of that certain hope that my sins are forgiven because Jesus died on the cross for me, and that my eternity is secured by Jesus' resurrection on that first Easter morning. This is the work of God. It is God's gift given to you and to me by his grace. So too is the sanctified life that follows. We get to respond with a life of discipleship for all that God has done for us. Pay close attention to my words this morning. We get to. We are privileged to. It is our daily joy to respond to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, the bread of life, by living a life as a follower of Jesus, living a life of discipleship. We are privileged to join with St. Paul in acknowledging that God has made us unique and special with particular gifts, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works God has already prepared for us to do. It is our daily joy to embrace our baptismal identity that in Christ God looks at us and declares, you are my child, you are a child of God, and then living in that baptismal grace to put off the old self with its sinful thoughts and desires each day and to put on the new self that loves God, that loves the things of God, and that desires to live a life that is pleasing to God. Jesus comes to bring all of that into our lives. All is a joyful and thankful response for what he has already done for us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the one who gives you life, new life now, forever life with me. This is the work of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.